The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Last week we commenced this new series called For Kingdom and Community, and we were looking at the ways that we can help people experience God through you, through his people, that's you, right where you are in the everyday of life. And we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan, of this man, a Samaritan who was just travelling down the road from A to B, and he came upon a person in need. And he felt compassion and he took care of this person. And so last week I encouraged you that in the week we've just had, that you would take opportunities in your everyday, in the everyday as you travel or are working or wherever you may be, that when you come upon someone who is in need or someone who needs support or encouragement, you would be there for them. That you would stop and take care of that person. And I was reflecting on it during the week, and I was thinking of a lady who was part of the church here at 102, was living in a retirement home. But every time they would gather for lunch, she would sit at the table and she would lead all those at her table in grace. And she would hear their stories and then she would share of her faith with them. You know, age is no impediment. Age is no barrier to stop you from being able to bring the kingdom of God right where you are. In the everyday of life, regardless of your age, regardless of where you might be, you have the opportunity to bring the kingdom of God into your community. Now, sometimes we find ourselves in very different places to where we had hoped we might be or where we'd intended to be. Certain situations have come up, certain people have crossed our paths in ways that causes our plans to change. And that's the case for the story we're looking at today. See, the early believers in Jesus would gather together in people's homes and gather together in the temple. And Acts chapter 2 tells us that as they gathered, they were in the favor of all people. There was great joy in their life together, in their sense of community. And while they had the favor of many of the people, there were those religious leaders who were not happy, who had seen the miracles of Jesus Christ and now seen the lifestyle of the followers of Jesus Christ, and they were very unhappy. And their response was to persecute the followers of Jesus Christ. And so now what we see is that facing the threat of either imprisonment or death, the followers of Jesus Christ had to make a choice. Are we going to stay in the city and forego our faith? Or are we going to leave our city and continue to hold our faith? And what we read in Acts chapter 8 from verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They chose to hold their faith and leave where they had been living. And they scattered to all different places. Now that included a man called Philip. We first encounter Philip in Acts chapter 6. He was a man that had been called upon to wait the tables of widows in the city in Jerusalem. And as he cared for them, he was doing something very good for the community. And yet when this persecution broke out, he too was one of those who were scattered, who chose to preach the word wherever they went. And Philip, we discover, went down to Samaria. Now, let's take a moment and think a little bit about the Samaritans. Last week we looked at this verse from Luke 10, where we saw that a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Why is it that Jesus talked about the good guy in this parable as being a Samaritan? Because as we see in this verse, Jews despised Samaritans. To understand this opposition, this argument between these two groups of people, we have to go right back to the time of King Solomon, or rather his son, which led to the division of Israel into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom with 10 tribes and the southern kingdom, Judah, with two tribes. And what we see is that as the northern kingdom moved further and further away from God, in 722 BC, the Assyrians came into that northern area and they conquered it. And one of the things the Assyrians would do is they would gather the people in that area that they defeated and they would deport them. They would send them to other nations and places that they'd defeated. But then the land was vacant. So then they would bring in other people from other nations they'd defeated, bringing with them their religions. And so over the following centuries, the Israelites that had remained in the northern kingdom, together with all of these others that had been brought into the kingdom, they intermarried, they shared aspects of their faith and religion with each other. And they became known as the Samaritans, named that after the city in that area of Samaria. So when the Jews looked at the Samaritans, they said, well, they now have a mixed ethnicity and they have a contaminated faith because they've brought together all these other religions into what was formerly their Judaic faith. And so as a result of that, the Israelites despised the Samaritans. So much so that they used it as a term of, as an insult against others. And so we see that when they were talking about Jesus in John chapter 8, the Jews said to Jesus, aren't we right in saying you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? This was the greatest insult that they could actually bring against Jesus, was to call him either a Samaritan or someone who was possessed by a demonic spirit. That was the level of disdain they held for the Samaritans, that they would use it in such an insulting way. Who are the Samaritans in our society today? Who are those in our communities looked down upon because of their ethnic heritage or their religion? Or in the language we'd often talk about today, pardon me, who are those who face discrimination because of their race, religion, marital status, or gender? Are we prepared to reach out and show God's love and grace and mercy to those in our community? Because that's what Jesus did. See, by the time of Jesus, what we find is that there were Jews who were living in the northern part of the nation called Galilee. And then there were those who were living around the area of Jerusalem in the area called Judea. But in the middle was Samaria, with the Samaritans. So when those in the north in Galilee wanted to travel down to Jerusalem, they had a choice. They could either take the shortest route, the direct route, but that meant they had to go through Samaria. So most of them refused to do that. They would take a much longer route around the Transjordan area and then come down to Jerusalem via that longer path. And yet we discover in the Gospels that on at least two occasions, Jesus chose to go from Galilee through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem or vice versa. The first of these we see is in John chapter 4. And again, it records the disdain that is felt by the Jews towards the Samaritans. We see Jesus at a well talking to a Samaritan woman, and a Samaritan woman says, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus broke so many social taboos, didn't he? So often he broke the cultural customs of the time. So here he is stopping at this well where he meets a Samaritan woman and he shares the good news with her. Now by associating with this woman, again, he is breaking the social rules of a Jew. First of all, as a man, he is meeting with a woman alone. Not just a woman, a Samaritan woman. Not just a Samaritan woman, but a Samaritan woman who has already been married 5 times and now is living in a de facto relationship. This is a woman who has been so ostracized, even by her own people, that when she wants to go to the well to get water, she has to do that in the heat in the middle of the day. Most of the other women came in the cool of the day in community, but not this woman. She came alone in the heat of the day. And yet Jesus did not hesitate to have a different perspective of this woman compared to that of his disciples or even the local Samaritans. So why am I taking this time to talk about the Samaritans in this way? Because you see, if we want to understand the kingdom of God, we've got to understand a change in thinking that had to happen for Jews towards the Samaritans. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then he tells his followers that they must now have a different perspective towards Samaritans. And he says to them, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So what we're now seeing is that followers of Jesus Christ are going to go beyond Jerusalem. They're going to go out into the region of Judea. But not only that, they're now being told to go into Samaria, to the Samaritans. And they're being told to go to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles. And this is where Philip now finds himself, in a Samaritan town. So what's he do in this Samaritan town? Without hesitation, we see him sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. And as we heard in the scripture reading, the Samaritans paid close attention to what he had to say. And many of them experienced healing from spiritual and physical ailments. Because Philip was there in that town, the kingdom of God had come near. And the consequence of that was it brought great joy into that town. See, wherever the kingdom of God is, it should be restoring things back to the way God intended it to be. And that's what we see where there is healing in people's lives. That's what we see where joy starts to overflow into people's lives. People started celebrating. In fact, so many of the Samaritans chose to put their faith in Jesus Christ. We read in verse 12, "But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." The kingdom of God was being released in that Samaritan town. And the community was celebrating the encounters with Jesus Christ. And good news travels, doesn't it? And it wasn't long before we find out the good news had got all the way up to Jerusalem. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Now, Peter and John had been disciples with Jesus Christ. And I wonder how they felt about going to Samaria. They'd been there with Jesus in John chapter 4 when he met the woman at the well. And so they knew that he was prepared to minister to them. And then on Jesus' final trip down to Jerusalem, when he had to go through Samaria again, he sent people on ahead to go into the village to prepare things and get them ready. But the people in the village rejected him. So John and his brother James go to Jesus and they say, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" This was the attitude John had not that long before Jesus died on the cross. John, who had previously wanted to annihilate the Samaritans, was now going to celebrate with them. Isn't that a massive change in perspective? A totally different way that he was looking at the Samaritans. And when Peter and John arrive, they pray for these new Samaritan believers, people they previously disdained, but they're now praying for them and they're now seeing them filled with the Holy Spirit. What an incredible change of attitude we're seeing in John's life. And I actually think this was also challenging for Peter, and it was setting him up for when he would soon have a vision of unclean animals and unclean food. That was preparing him to go to the Gentiles Again, a massive change in perspective, a massive change in thinking. See, this was preparing them for what it meant to go to Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what caused their change in perspective? They had now come to an understanding of what the kingdom of God was about. And as they understood the kingdom of God, Peter and John had to radically change their perspectives towards Samaritans and Gentiles. And they had previously seen Jesus minister to Samaritans. They had previously seen Jesus bring healing to Gentiles. But they'd still struggled with Samaritans. Remember, John wanted to annihilate them. Until now. Now that they understood the kingdom of God and what it meant to bring the kingdom of God near wherever they went. And now they're in a Samaritan town, so therefore they're bringing the kingdom of God near to that place. God's love and grace and truth was being revealed there. What perspectives do we bring to our community? Do we have prejudices against certain groups of people because they have different religious views to our own, or even those who say they have no religion? Do we have prejudices against certain groups of people? And we mightn't think we do. We mightn't think we have those prejudices. But sometimes people would say, well, what about the homeless? But when you stop and you hear the stories of the homeless, and you hear what's happened in their lives, when we stop and care, we get a different perspective. Or what about the long-term unemployed, or sex workers, or drug addicts? Are we able to stop and care, to hear their stories of life? And as we do that, suddenly we become filled with compassion and we want to share God's love and grace and truth and mercy with them. Not because they deserve it, but we can give it because we've received it. Not because we deserved it, but because God is a God of grace. And that's the grace that we are able to receive and give. And from this story, we have to ask, are we like Philip, who actually had to be pushed by his circumstances to go where he might not have otherwise gone? In his case, it was persecution that caused him to bring the kingdom of God into that Samaritan town. Do we need to be pushed by adversity or difficulty before we engage with certain groups of people? Or are we like the Good Samaritan? We just happen to be travelling from A to B, just travelling down the road, and we see someone in need, and we stop. We hear their story. We care for them, as we in turn are cared for by a loving God. What does it mean for you to find ways to bring the kingdom of God near as you walk down the paths of life, right where you are? Now, imagine how Philip felt when he first met Simon the sorcerer. Interesting name, isn't it? Simon the sorcerer from Samaria. And Simon the sorcerer was used to using evil power to do his magic. We read in Acts chapter 8, "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is rightly called the great power of God.'" The people knew power when they saw it. And they saw the way that Simon had this power and the way that he could do incredible things with it. But then they met Philip. And they saw the power that Philip was able to exercise in Jesus' name and the healing he brought to people's lives. And they said, we want that. And so they chose to put their faith in Jesus Christ. We see from verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In fact, even Simon was so impacted by the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ that he too believed and was baptized. What a turnaround for his life. But as we know, choosing to put your faith in Jesus Christ and choosing to be baptized is a wonderful start for commencing life as a follower of Jesus Christ. But just because you believe in Jesus and just because you're baptized doesn't mean that all your problems stop. It doesn't mean that suddenly you're perfect. See, there's an ongoing work that has to happen in our lives so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. That journey of what we call sanctification is not instantaneous. And for Simon, he was used to having power and influence. And for him, old habit patterns and old thought patterns die hard. He was used to impressing people. And so when Simon saw the power of God being exercised by Philip, when he saw Peter and John laying hands on people and them receiving the Holy Spirit, he wanted it. At whatever cost, he was prepared to pay for it. And so we see that when Simon saw the Spirit was giving at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. There's a challenge in that for us as well. See, it's often messy with people who are new to faith. And we need to be gracious towards them. Simon had experienced God's love. He'd seen God's power. He knew God's forgiveness. But he had not yet understood that God's healing and forgiveness is given freely. In the words of Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, 7 and 8, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. How hard would it be for Simon to freely give healing and not keep the glory for himself? Because he was used to receiving the glory. People looked at him and said, surely this man is like God. And now he is learning what it means to not be receiving the glory himself. To start to learn what it means to give the glory to God. But Simon asked, can I pay for this? That I could do it too. Because he's used to receiving glory. That's his old patterns. That's his ways of thinking. And so Peter corrects him. It's a really strong correction. It's like a rebuke. And Peter says to him, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. It's a challenging thought, isn't it? Why do we want a minister in our community? Is it times it ever that we actually want to be receiving glory or thanked for that ourselves? See, when we care for people, we're meant to be doing that, that people would experience God's love and grace and mercy. But we do have to ask ourselves at times, what are our motives? Are we bringing the kingdom of God near as an expression of love for our community? Or at times are we doing it because it makes us feel good? Because sometimes it's healing a wound, a deep wound in our own hearts, and helping others is a way of bringing balm, healing, ointment to that deep wound. What does it mean to bring the kingdom of God near in a way that has a right heart before God? That's what Peter is asking Simon. And so we see Simon's response. Simon actually realizes that Peter's pointing out the sin in his life, pointing out this way of thinking that he's had in the past. And so Simon answers, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." In other words, he knows he needs to repent so that his future care for others would be out of a right heart before God. And I believe that Peter wouldn't have left him hanging. I think Peter would have prayed with him, for him, for the change in heart that Simon realizes that he needs. See, as we look at this story of Simon, we see that he started as a man with great influence, a man of great popularity in his town, even though it was from a place of ungodliness. And yet when Simon heard the power of the gospel of the kingdom of God being shared, when he saw the evidence of the kingdom of God being released in his community, he wanted it as well. And yet there's still this heart change that was needed within him. There was still a change in the way that he had been thinking that was required. But thankfully, we see that Peter and John were willing to see that. They're willing to have the difficult conversation with him to help him understand his mistake, to challenge him that he must change from the way he was. And so this in turn brings Simon to a place of repentance. And Simon saying to them, "Would you please pray for me that these things that you've said will not happen?" Are we willing to walk with people who are discovering Jesus? And sometimes that's really difficult, because they have to learn new ways of thinking. Sometimes God's got to do a really deep work in people's hearts. And we've got to decide, are we willing to walk alongside them, even as they make mistakes? Are we willing to pray with them so that they can grow as disciples of Jesus Christ? What change in perspective must we make? And as we finish this passage, we see another deep change that's happening in the perspectives, in the view of Peter and John. Because what we see is that years earlier, as disciples with Jesus Christ, they'd been horrified to see Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. Even having spent 3 years with Jesus, as he's making his way to Jerusalem, his final time, John has been willing to smite the Samaritans with fire, because they had not responded to Jesus. And yet now, he is willing to help these same people come to Jesus. Why? Because he now understands the kingdom of God and what that means. He now understands what it means that where he goes, he brings the kingdom of God, and he wants to bring it near into those Samaritan towns. And so we now see this story ending, that after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. What a shift. What a change in perspective for Peter and John. See, like the Good Samaritan that we looked at last week, who travelled down the road and found a person in need, now Peter and John could travel down the roads of Samaria on their way back to Jerusalem, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ wherever they went. The people who they'd previously seen but refused to reach out to, they were now reaching out to them and helping them encounter the kingdom of God. And wherever they went, Peter and John are now releasing the kingdom of God, even in Samaritan towns, helping those communities become more like Jesus intended them to be. And that was possible because Peter and John were now willing to go there. And because of Jesus in them, they brought the kingdom of God near. There's a number of challenges that come to us from this passage. What does it look like to be Philip, whose life circumstances brought him to a group of people that he might not have otherwise have had the opportunity to meet? Where will life take you that you would have opportunities to bring the kingdom of God near to that group of people? Are we willing to be like Peter and John, allowing the Holy Spirit to change our perspective so that we can minister to those that God brings across our paths? Are we willing to walk with messy new Christians even when it's confronting? Are we willing to pray for them, support them, help them? These are and will be some of our challenges as God answers our prayer to see many more come into the kingdom of God. And so let us take a minute and reflect on what we've just been hearing through this story and the lives of Philip and Simon, Peter and John, and ask ourselves, what's God saying to me today? And as we reflect on what God is saying to us, ask, what will I do with what I've heard? How will I respond? Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask that you would do a deep work in our hearts. Lord, where there are thought patterns or habit patterns that we have that are preventing us from being the people you call us to be, then we bring them before you. We ask, Lord, you would do a deep work in our hearts and minds to cause us to become increasingly like Jesus Christ, increasingly the person that you've called each one to uniquely be. Help us to learn from Philip that wherever life circumstances might take us, that we would be willing to bring the kingdom of God near in that place. That we would minister your love and grace and mercy wherever and to whomever you bring us to. Lord, help us to be people who will walk with the Simon the sorcerers in this world. To walk with them, encourage them, support them, pray for them. Challenge, convict, love. Lord God, where Peter and John had to change their perspectives, Lord, help us to take a kingdom perspective, to understand the presence and love of Jesus in us, and what it means to release the kingdom of God. That, Lord, where we have had views towards certain groups of people that have been wrong, help us, Lord, to see all people through the eyes of Jesus, and therefore to love all people with the love of Jesus. That, Lord, as we travel the roads of life, we would take the opportunities to reveal the goodness of God wherever we go. We ask and pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.